Hello, Hot Springs. I'm D.V. Cooper.
And I'm Erin Baber.
That's Rootin' Tootin'.
And we're from the Garland County Library.
And this is Checked Out,
a podcast where we talk about all things library each Friday.
Broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Cell Studios.
Thanks for joining us.
Well, it's a beautiful Friday. Who are you and what do you do here?
My name is Butch, and I'm the Design and Facilities Manager at the Garland County Library. Right now, we're heading up a couple major projects that we got going on, and along with just a bunch of other little things that are going on around here.
And this is a brand new thing for us. We've never had a Design and Facilities Manager. So, kind of, you're like a jack of all trades. It's everything building and planning, and you help out with programs. What else?
Yeah, you make things.
Yeah, because I think for the longest time, I think for the entire history of the library, everything was subcontracted out. A lot of it was out of county, and so just thought it was a better idea and better responsibility to actually kind of handle a lot of things in-house, and kind of allows us to do a little bit more than we would normally do.
Yeah, and people might not know that everything was subcontracted out. So all the flowers that you saw coming up, that was a different company that did it. There was a different company that did our water lines for, like, outside. There's a different company that mowed our grass. There's a different company that cleaned.
Yeah, I think it was five different companies just for the lawn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this way we get to have, like, one person's expertise and wisdom and experience, I guess, to oversee everything and make sure that it's, you know.
And move us in a different direction.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm most excited about, because that's all the facilities, things that, you know, we could talk about. We need somebody to you know, maintain the grounds and to clean and to mow and all that. But the design part is what I'm super excited about, because you have a background in different kinds of fabrication. Mm-hmm. So you've been 3D printing things for programs.
Yeah.
As well as, I think you even fixed a few little nuts and bolts that we've been missing that you were able to just, I can print that.
Oh, yeah, we just do that. Being able to do some of the in-house fabrication is really nice, and doing some of the in-house construction stuff. And, yeah, it just allows us to pivot a little faster, and when somebody comes up with an idea, that we can sit there and say, well, let's start talking about this. Like, no, let's jump in there. We can do this. The idea being that when somebody says, I think it would be cool if, that we try our best to make it happen.
And you're getting a lot of those, I think it would be cool if, for our upcoming plans.
Oh, very
including
much.
The garden upgrade that's mm-hmm. going to be starting soon, and the building expansion.
Yes.
So this is a lot. It's a lot to talk about in a short period of time. So I'm going to let you hit on some of the higher points. If you'd like to, I could introduce it. But I'm shocked whenever I talk about this, how many people are like, what do you mean your upper parking lot? It's like those stairs in front of the library.
Yes,
that go up.
Yeah, people. It was weird. Yeah, I've actually had several people who didn't realize that the stairs in front of the building that go up actually went somewhere.
Right.
I don't know if they thought it was decorative that we would put a giant living wall in and a double set of stairs that went to nothing.
I mean, it kind of has for the last several years, because nobody really parks up there unless it's just absolute.
Yeah.
But now there's going to be such an attraction up there, you're not going to be able to miss it.
We're going to, definitely do that. We are turning the lot that is next to the library and behind the Ricks building on Banks into a community garden and park. And that will be the parking for it.
Right?
Yeah. Woo! It's 10 years coming, No, we, this all started cooking off about 10 years ago when the lot was purchased. They got it for a really good price and just kind of happened to become available, knowing that someday that they may want to do something with it, and we are going to be turning it into a 1-acre native habitat and plant community garden and park. Some of the major highlights are going to be, we're going to have 42 raised checkoutable planting beds that'll go hand in hand with our outdoor programming, our seed garden, our seed library.
And the master gardeners.
Mm-hmm. And with the new library of things that we've launched. So there's a lot of things that are all kind of tying into each other. But like that would be, you come in, you check out the bed, you are provided with the tools, you're provided with the knowledge, the seeds, kind of the community support to grow garden there if you'd like to. Either you want to try experimental stuff, not in your home garden, if you don't have the space to do a garden, if you just don't want to have to do the work to set up a garden at home, you can set it up here.
Or if you're terrible like me and everything like that, everything's going to have to, like,
theoretically there would be somebody nearby who might be able to point you in the right direction to make sure you just don't nuke it from orbit. What are some of the other things we're doing?
We're going to have several flowering pollinator areas for our local wildlife, which we've already kind of established.
We did. That was one of the first things I did, was tear out all the decorative plants and replace it with a pollinator habitat, which has been doing way better than I thought it was going to. My expectations were pretty low for a first-year planting. We already have dozens and dozens of new plants that have been coming in. You've probably seen them if you've been at the library, like lots of little purple and blues and different kinds of plants growing in there, which are, you know, super attractive to bees. We just have hundreds of bees, you know, out there on the bee balm and, you know, clocking around. And yeah, so that'll be a big section of the garden, probably about a quarter acre of it will probably be pollinator habitat.
Well, that's like, it's a pollinator habitat right now, but people probably don't realize that, like, some of the older plants that we had that they would put in are not from, like, Arkansas, you know?
Yeah.
And so the maintenance on to keep those plants and flowers alive, whereas we're the natural state, and maybe we should have some of our own.
A lot of the grounds around here, we were having to brute force it with chemical treatments. It would be, there would be a tanker truck that would come in that would spray herbicide on everything and just completely kill it. And then we'd have another tanker that would come in there and spray artificial fertilizers on there just to make it grow in this area. Whereas, surprise, surprise, as long as this native stuff, as long as you keep it watered.
Yeah, it does pretty well.
Looks great, and yeah, is really kind of beneficial to the area.
So I will really enjoy watching the pollinator life from a hammock.
Yeah.
Right? I think that that's going to be kind of neat.
Yeah. The, all the trees that are up there, with the exception of just a couple of them, we're going to be keeping, but then we're also bringing in lots of trees, as big as we can get away with putting them in, to provide shade. But we do need shaded areas, so we're going to be having some larger commercial shade structures. And if we were going to have a center really heavy-duty steel pole, why don't we tie a bunch of hammocks to it, where people can check out hammocks? The idea being that you come in the morning, you're going to work your plot, check your tomatoes, and then be like, well, I've got a few hours before my program starts, so let's go ahead and check out a book, check out a hammock from our library of things, go up to the hammock village, tie on, and just relax and enjoy a nice pretty day.
That's right. Until your program begins in the outdoor amphitheater.
That's right. Yep.
Man, right?
Yep. Yeah. Nice. Doing a little raised bed. We're hoping to do some, like, movie presentation, outdoor programming. Little things like, anytime we would want to do an outdoor program here at the library, it would be in the lot between us and the health department. So this will be a better way to do those programs without being, all right, everybody through the parking lot, out to the side lot, in between two buildings. That's where our outside is going to be. We'll actually have a better area to present in.
I love it. Then another thing I'm excited about, just because I've worked with the Hot Springs Hanamaki Sister City Program. Never been to Japan. Not yet.
Not yet.
But, you know, I've worked with them a lot on some of their programs. And I think that it's really neat that we're going to put in a really small little little Japanese garden in honor of our sister city relationship.
We're absolutely going to be putting that in into the north east corner. We're going to be doing it a little bit differently than a traditional Japanese garden, because we are trying to push sustainability here at the library. For a traditional Japanese garden is very delicate, and it doesn't really fit into that style of garden that we're going to be putting in. Like, let's say if you've ever been to Garvin Gardens, it is a very meticulously maintained, very meticulously detailed garden area, and the Japanese gardens there are beautiful, but it doesn't quite fit in with our kind of native species thing. So we're going to be doing a little bit more of a utilitarian, pretty garden that's not going to have a few of the features. Like, we won't have a moss area. We could have a moss area. Again, we would have to brute force it with extra water. We would have to put in other non-native species to make sure that it shaded it properly. So we're really trying to find a balance with sustainability, native plantings, but then also being able to have a Japanese garden. But for most people, they will look at it and say, oh, that's a really pretty Japanese garden. But as you learn kind of what goes in behind it, then you'll need, like, all these are the things that it does have, or these are the things that it doesn't have.
Right, right. So that various fruit trees and berry bushes.
Mm-hmm. Full just, orchard.
Yeah. Just, you know, figures, right? Yeah. Goes along with it. Now, this is something we touched on with our last podcast with Whitney, is accessibility.
Mm-hmm.
So these pads are going to be ADA accessible, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
I think that's such an important thing.
The stairs leading up there, yes. there is a back way on, what is it, Bank Street
yeah,
right
you
there?
You go to Bank Street, yeah. and also... Like, the idea, right now, it is almost a solid acre of 50-year-old asphalt.
Yeah.
So that is all going to be excavated out. But we are giving up some space just for accessibility and just to be just more community-friendly. We are putting in two handicap-accessible parking spaces up there in the midst of the garden. It'll be coming off of Bank Street. You won't be able to miss it. It'll have, like, a little... utility building next to it. We're trying to make it just that much easier. I would rather give up planting space to just have one extra person be able to come visit. Just make it that much easier. That yes, you will be able to access it from the parking, the upper parking area in a couple areas, but then just make it that much easier to make it, you know, people to be able to visit and use the use
and
the
it's in line with libraries. You know, we're trying to be more inclusive. We're not exclusive. We want the entire community to come and enjoy this.
Yeah, our a lot of our plans revolve around if it benefits one person and we have the ability to do it, we definitely want to do it.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Looking for more local content like this and so much more? Click subscribe by visiting hotsr.com.
So those those ADA accessible walking paths leads me into another kind of path that we're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be selling, right? These segues, huh?
Oh, love it.
Paver bricks, engraved paver bricks. I can't wait to go step on Brent's name every time I go to work.
I've got a new puppy that's going to be walked on that brick,
on that brick.
In a circle. It's going to be great.
I was thinking about, I don't know if I'm going to get D.B. Cooper or not, because then, like...
Oh, they're going to... Mm-hmm.
People aren't going to know that, you know...
Launch a conspiracy theory here at the library.
So I might just buy... I might buy a few bricks telling the story of me buying a brick.
Yeah.
I figured he'd go with, like, the shrub emoji or something, you know? Like, or the letters.
Maybe.
So those engraved paver bricks that you can purchase at the library with money order or check only, mm-hmm. they are $30, mm-hmm. and that includes... what I think 45 total characters.
Yeah.
15 lines of text.
Yeah, three lines at 15 characters each. Yeah, and of course spaces count as a character.
Yes.
People are probably familiar with those. They use them for fundraisers for, like, you know, schools or parks or stuff like that. We wanted everyone to be able to participate as much as possible, so we are not using them as fundraising. They cost $30, we are charging $30. And then we'll cover, like, shipping and all that other, and installation and all that other stuff. So we're really trying to make it to where as absolutely affordable as possible, you know.
And for $30, you're kind of immortalized here at the library.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the easiest, like, $30 you could spend to have everyone remember.
There's not a lot of opportunities other than graffiti in a really hard to reach spot where you will leave your mark. Like, don't leave your mark. With graffiti, don't go into the national park and leave your mark there. Come to the library and legally
don't chisel on the library's bricks.
Yeah, like we're going leave no trace. This is the one spot where you could leave a trace. That's it.
So we are talking about how these are at cost and we're not making money on these, but we do have other ways of contributing if you would like to help fund the garden.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
We're not really selling these items, but we're selling the sponsorship rights for a lot of them.
Exactly.
Like the paver bricks we just mentioned, raised beds,
mm-hmm.
you'd be able to name those, like with your name, an honor, a loved
mm-hmm.
one, for an organization you're part mm-hmm. of, anything. Those
I guess
are going to
be like a nice plaque or
exactly.
something
we're,
like
we're
that.
Looking at, and that was another thing, is we're looking at producing those in-house, manufacturing. It's a more affordable way to do it, and we can get a higher quality product
nice.
For people, so.
In addition to that, you could sponsor the ADA park tables, stone benches, park benches, the shade structure, the raised bed garden as a whole. Or
one has already been spoken for.
Never mind. Right. That
was one
playing.
Of our major. That's the naming rights for the entire raised bed area.
Wow.
We were very, very fortunate to have an anonymous donor step in and volunteer to do that.
That's great.
Yeah. It's the bid package is going on right now. So we are soliciting bids from contractors to handle the construction, the excavation and construction part of this. We have estimates. We have, our architects have told us, based on, you know, current ones that are going on right now and in the past, even with inflation, this is about what we are expecting it to cost. We will find out during the open bid process. Like, we won't know how much people are going to want to have to do this until we open those bids. So we are all running on assumptions that our budget will cover everything, but we won't know. So but every little bit will help.
Even if the budget does cover everything, anything extra that we get just means that we can get a better product.
A better product. We can roll it right into, it's, if you help out with the garden, it is going to go towards the garden. And if whatever overages we have, if we are lucky enough to have any overages, that is also going to help cover programming. So right. We can do those really special things that we want to do, because we're trying to be very, very responsible with the community's money, and we're going to try to make this stretch as far as possible, because opportunities don't come like this very often for parks and stuff to be built. Especially here at the library, this is like one of the first major projects that we're doing. So it is an opportunity to kind of really, truly participate and be able to have something that outlives you.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. So the raised bed garden has been claimed. Mm-hmm. There is also an opportunity to sponsor the orchard, mm-hmm. the amphitheater, and the garden in its entirety.
Yeah, yes. You got them deep pockets. We could
we could put your name on something. Like, again, it's like, how often do you ever see someone's personal name on it? I just noticed we went to the library, or to the zoo. we went to the zoo.
Library zoo.
It's like the library for animals.
Yeah, same thing.
They do not let you check out. Right. I'm really upset about
that. Wait a minute.
Yeah. But I noticed that there was a couple areas. The penguin area and the cheetah area was named by somebody. Okay. And so I was kind of somebody stepped in and provided that. And you have an opportunity to step in and provide some stuff for your community.
So if you want to find out more about these or how much some of these sponsor opportunities would cost, you can go to gclibrary.com/grows.
Yeah.
Or even if you just go to gclibrary.com on like our homepage on the banners, if you let it scroll by a few, you're going to see the garden plans. Yeah. And you can click on that, and then you can see this whole, everything that we've talked about, including how much, and how to contact Butch. Mm-hmm. So it's just bsmith@gclibrary.com.
That's correct.
And you can email Butch with any questions you have about the garden, mm-hmm. Or if you want to talk about, I think you're getting a lot of people who are excited.
Yeah, people are just like, how can I help? Even in the smallest way. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a group effort, and it's been really great to just in these even early stages, even before we start construction on it, to have a lot of people come and say, even if like they can't help, I am super excited and I'm telling my friends about it.
That's great. And tell them that we have an upper lot.
Yes, that we have an upper lot. If they'd like to see where it's going to go, park in the upper lot and go walk around.
Yeah, just
it's
look really, around at all that just trash up there.
Yeah, it's just an empty industrial lot that you look at it and you're like, oh, wow, this is going to be something really, really special.
But it's probably going to be like years away, right? Like,
no, actually, a matter of fact, like I said, we are in the middle of the bid process right now. It closes in a week and a half, and fingers crossed, we will be starting construction in some capacity in November. We are shooting for a spring 23 opening.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more we want to talk about, but I kind of feel like I'd like to try to get you on a separate podcast to talk about the building expansion.
Mm-hmm. We could do that.
Because that's a whole other thing.
That is a whole other thing, and the easiest way to like elevator pitch it is we are looking at and not... We are thinking about, we are going to completely remodel this library, including adding a 10,000 square foot second floor into this building.
Within our structure, we already have.
It is going to be when we are done, it will be a brand new library. The shell will look different, but basically the footprint is the same, but Hot Springs is getting a brand new library.
Yeah, basically. A modern library.
Imagine having that amazing garden upstairs and you're growing stuff and then, you know, you're harvesting and then you bring it into the building, into a kitchen where you clean it and you process
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people teaching classes. This is the big one. This is what a lot of people have been waiting on a long time.
We're waiting for it, and I hope that the community is, because, I mean,
it's like,
Well, we're just now kind of talking about it, too. It's the word's getting out, you know?
Yeah.
I think that we're going to get a lot of eyes on the library with the garden expansion, and we'll take that and roll that right into excitement for the building expansion.
Yes.
So, Butch, we're going to get you back on probably, maybe we can get you back on in a month or so to talk about the building expansion, find out where we are on the garden, what we need the community to help with, and I hope everybody gets excited. You can keep up with what's going on Facebook, GC Library, or Facebook.com/Garland County Library.
We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter at GC Lib.
Yeah, I think the best way to keep up with the garden and expansion is by visiting GCLibrary.com/grows. We're going to try to update it about weekly, more so once things start moving.
Yes.
You know?
There's going to be pictures and stuff.
Yeah. We've got some renders of the garden that are up there that you can take a look at to get kind of a general layout. Right now, we are in the technical schematic phase of the remodel and expansion. So we're figuring out what is physically possible and what it's going to take to do the things we want to do. Meanwhile, we are also looking at all the new areas and programming that we're going to be doing, spacing, meeting rooms, recording rooms, kitchens, community outreach centers, new teen space, expanded children's area. It's
huge.
Yes. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's Butch Smith at bsmith@gclibrary.com. And as always, if you have any complaints, please email pkageebein@gclibrary.com.
JK, Paul, we love you. Most important question. What is your second favorite dinosaur?
I would probably have to say the, what is it, the Ultrasaurus. It's like the super big Brontosaurus. Just on sheer size, it starts making you think about what exactly it took to keep that thing alive.
Right, vegetables. That's how nuts is that?
Lots of vegetables. What? Like you would eat in a community garden.
And on that note,
thank you for joining us on this episode of Checked Out
from the Garland County Library.
New episodes released each Friday from the Razorback Camper Cell Studios. I'm D.B. Cooper.
And I'm Erin Baber.
Thanks for listening.